Oh, hello, everyone. I have two things to tell you. One, in this episode, you will hear me and Jesse talk about the cocktail that we are going to drink while we record the next episode. And if you want to make one and drink it with us while you listen, I'm going to put the recipe in the show notes, including a virgin version. Is that what they're called? A non-alcoholic version, so that everyone who wants to can partake. And the other thing is that I can't remember if we already said that we met our pre-order goal for the Be Gay, Do Crime little revenge ship sticker, but we did, and they have arrived, and they're so fucking cute. So if you want one, they're in our shop. It's a limited run. When they're gone, they're gone. So, you know, make sure you do that if you want one. Yeah, that's all. Let's get into the episode. Avast ye and welcome to the Gay Pirate Podcast, where two queer IRL pirates talk about Our Flag Means Death one episode at a time. I am Lark Malachi Gray, and it looks like I got someone all hot and bothered.
And I am Jesse Blount. I said them a light, and then I said a cool thing, and everyone laughed.
I like that we both chose the same moment in the episode.
I had so many lines written out from this episode because there are a lot of good lines, but I don't know. That just makes me laugh so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And today we're talking about.
Episode 7 of the second season of Our Flag Means Death, Man on Fire, in which we're back in the Republic of Pirates and so many things happen.
Too many, one might argue.
Too many things happen. Yes, this could have been two whole episodes, honestly.
Yep. Just a reminder that every episode is longer on Patreon, so consider joining us there if you like what we've got going on. Our patrons are the whole reason we're able to make podcasts, so thank you to all of you who are already supporting us.
Yeah, thanks everyone for supporting independent queer media right here.
Yeah, and if you want to support us another way, go leave us 5 stars and a written review on Apple Podcasts. You know, pause it, go do that, come back, we will be here. That is the nature of you listening, not in real time. It's so great. all right, all that out of the way, let's get started with Talk It Through as a Crew, where we talk about everything that doesn't go anywhere else.
My first thing is, I literally had 3 different things I was going to describe Jinriki's terrible clock bombs, but the obvious thing was, of course, literal time bombs.
Yep. Yep. I didn't catch that because I was so, the Peter Pan reference was taking up all of the space in my brain.
Whoa, I think I missed that, so I'm glad that you did not.
We're such a good team. Yeah, I want to back up all the way to the beginning because this like whole breakfast in bed thing is like
the cutest.
The cutest. It's like one of the cutest things in television history. Steed is just like so sweet and supportive, and I don't know. Ed is just so like open. It's just really great. I love it a lot, like a lot.
It is really some of the cutest things that we get in this entire season, unfortunately. I feel like my favorite, which I didn't catch until this second rewatch, is that there aren't plates. Everything's just on the tray. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's not like a dish for the marmalade. It's just like a glob of marmalade. Listen, plating is hard.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I feel like it feels very like Ed being like, this twine is, I panicked. And I'm like, I feel like I've done things like that. So I like really just empathize with him.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think, I don't know, man. Because I feel like you could hear Steed being like, no, actually, like, the twine totally makes it, as him being, like, condescending. But I actually feel like what's happening is Steed hears Ed's reasoning for the twine being there and then is like, he genuinely means it. Like, maybe, before he was like, there's a piece of twine there. But, like, in context, he's like, that piece of twine is fucking perfect, actually. And I just love it so much.
I know. It's so cute. I just, yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah. What do you have next?
Skipping ahead a bit. When Ed is giving Steed advice, now that Steed is like the hot new thing at the Republic of Pirates, and Ed's like, accept drinks but never finish them, is actually excellent advice that Steed does not take at all, unfortunately. Because it's like, yeah, you want to be gracious, but you don't want to get completely plastered in a place where two people are going to try to murder you, which literally happens.
Right.
And then, I don't know, I guess also maybe in general, if you're the kind of person that people are like, let me just keep buying you drinks. It's like, don't drink all of those drinks. Oh, God. Yeah.
You got to learn from What's-Her-Face and Coyote Ugly. Like, you do the shot and then you chase it with the beer. And the beer is actually an empty bottle that you spit the shot back out into so that no one's offended that you didn't do the shot they bought you. But also, you don't have to get shit-faced.
Right. And you can keep your wits about you.
Right. I assume that takes practice. I've never tried it. But I feel like spitting an ounce of liquid into an empty beer bottle while you're pretending to drink out of it probably takes a little practice. So if you get famous, step one, practice not having to take a shot, but pretending that you took it.
I feel like if you get famous, probably the thing is pretending to like do a line of cocaine and not actually doing it.
That too.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just sneeze everywhere. I guess we can't do
this. I really don't think that scattering someone's cocaine that they offered you is the solution.
No, actually it is not. Please don't do that at all. That is the incorrect.
I feel like people on cocaine are not notorious for being, like, super reasonable about reacting to things.
So. Yeah.
Actually, my next thing is, like, the next line from what you just said, because Ed is like, never insult someone's tattoo, especially if it's of you. And I was like, this is definitely a reference to the number of people who, since season one of Our Flag Means Death, have gotten tattoos of both Rhys Darby and Taika Waititi's faces on their bodies, right? Like, this is a joke, right?
Wow, I hope, yes.
It has to be, right? Like, yeah. Just having an actor who's like, I can look up tattoos of Taika Waititi and find, like, an entire wall of my face on people's bodies saying that line, like, that's definitely referencing that.
Yeah. You know, wow, that actually didn't occur to me until now, but that is probably so, must be very surreal.
It must be so weird, especially like when you're in this kind of like super intense fandom. So like people, you know, you're going to like end up meeting people who are going to be like, I want to show you my tattoo of your face. And you just have to be like, what the fuck? Like,
actually, this also makes sense because I have the next thing is the next line where he's like, or other things. Which I was like, oh, this is a, like, in-world joke about, I don't know, people having, like, a tattoo of, like, Blackbeard's ass or something. But in this context, I've seen so many tattoos of, like, the foot touch from season one. And I'm like, it seems less weird, but also must be still kind of a, like, oh, okay, huh.
Right. Totally. So, yeah, I was looking up tattoos for this to see if there were any that I was, like, mostly I was looking to see if there was one that I would be like, oh, definitely don't insult that person, even though that tattoo is terrible. I did not find any terrible ones.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, yeah, I feel like it'd be flattering, but also just very strange.
So weird. It would be so weird to have a stranger have your face tattooed on their body.
Yeah, so listeners, not that we're saying you can't get tattoos of our faces, but there are so many other things you could get tattooed on your body.
Okay. What do you have next?
There are so many good lines in this episode. Okay. I just love when Jackie sees Ed and he's like wearing like Button's old clothes. And she's like, why are you dressed like a dirty ass orphan? And I'm just like, wow. It's just a very good question, but I'm just like.
And then the Swede comes up and is like, Blackbeard, are you a poor now? I know. Just, oh my god, yeah, no, I was like, I'm team Jackie and the Swede. Like, Ed, what the fuck are you doing? This is not working.
It's like, yeah, it's like, we get it. You want to run away from your feelings, but like, it doesn't, you don't have to take your entire aesthetic with it.
Exactly. Okay, so my next thing is actually a proposition, because the Swedes drink sounds amazing, and I want to propose that we drink them while we record our last episode of the season.
Oh my god, okay, all right, so what do you think is in that drink then?
Well, I'm gonna assume, well, not assume, I'm... Sometimes I can't make my brain just go in a normal fucking order. Hang on. There is a spicy margarita that I make. They used to have them at this bar around here, but they don't anymore. But so it's like a margarita that's like habanero tequila, pineapple juice, lime juice, and like a spicy rim, like, you know, Tony's spicy salt or something like that as the rim. Yeah. And it's fucking delicious. The Swedes looks like it's blended, which is very funny because this is 1717. But I think you could totally make that as a blended drink.
Yeah. It is also white, so I assumed that it was like coconut based on some level.
But a frozen margarita is white.
You're right.
Yeah, because of the ice.
All right. I think this is a good idea. And I'll have enough time to actually buy some jalapenos and infuse some tequila. Or something.
Yeah. If you use habaneros, the infusing process can be roughly 30 seconds of shaking it before your drink is hot enough for you to be like, wow, that was enough. So
that's good to keep in mind. Yeah. And I have a sort of... not like a hilariously low spice tolerance, but a much lower spice tolerance than
me.
Most brown people. I think Nicole has a higher spice tolerance than me, which is...
That's so funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a like sriracha on everything. Not on everything, but like hot sauce on stuff. And I don't really care about hot sauce. But yes.
Yeah, cool. All right, I will send you a recipe.
Speaking of Jackie's... this bar fight, my first notes were like, this looks like a lot of fun, even though they're literally, everyone's literally fighting for their lives, but it seems like everyone's kind of having a great time, and I feel like this is probably a lot of fun to shoot.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm like, this looks great, but it's sort of like, it doesn't seem like the crew is necessarily in danger. It's sort of like, oh, we're just going to fight now. Great. Finally.
Yeah, that seems like it fits with, like, pirate culture, right? To be like, a brawl, hooray. So, yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
My last thing is a little moment of appreciation for when Zhengyi tells Steed to say mercy and she'll stop. And he's like, mercy, beaucoup. it's so... goofy. I love it so much.
I love everything about that fight. I think I actually have that. I want to talk more about it because it's just so good.
Okay.
So, I just like how it starts. It starts off very like, it starts off so catty. Like this could have been like a slap fight and then it comes an actual fight.
Yeah.
But it's like, Steed, she outclasses you by so much. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? It's just very, and everyone's being like, Steed, no. And he's like, no, Steed, yes.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. He's really riding on that, the whole like being, you know, mediocre and inept is my superpower thing from a couple episodes ago. And it's like, buddy, you sometimes that's not going to work. And like the first time it doesn't work, you're going to die. So you might want to stop leaning on it.
Yeah. I feel like that on top of riding the high of being like, I'm a popular kid now. Yeah. It's just like, oh, Steve. Like, I get it, but yeah, she's not the one.
No, absolutely not.
All right, my actual last thing is, once again, the end credit scene. One of the best parts of this episode.
Sure is.
Which is like, where are Roach and Fang this entire time? Having a spa day.
And Roach is like a blogger or, you know, any sort, like an influencer selling you mud masks, you know. What does he say? Like, my curls were being like something by the salt air and...
Oh yeah, they're just like, they're like super dried out and like his toenails are all like rough and he's just like...
Yeah, and now he's gonna sell us like, I don't know. God, I don't know anything about... I don't know anything about anything when it comes to that world. I'm like, there's got to be a brand that I could use here that would be funny, but I can't think of one, so...
Nope. Yep. Yeah. He also... I don't know if you saw that at the... Like, towards the very end when things start exploding, like, you see Roach and he still has the mud mask on.
No, I didn't.
He's like, he's, like, screaming in the background. It's... yeah, when all the crew's, like, screaming because there's, like... cannonballs being shot. Like, he shows up for like 2 seconds and he's still wearing this mud
mask. So cute. Oh my god.
It's just like, this is what an incredible detail.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah, unfortunately wrecking the whole vibe of his spa day, unfortunately.
Yeah. Welcome to Brigade of Imbeciles, where we talk about character development. Do you want to start by talking about Steed and Ed? I kind of have them as one thing, but...
Yes.
Cool. What do you have first?
Okay. So Steed is really having kind of a great time moving beyond being a soft Muppet pirate.
Yeah.
And it is... I don't know. It's like, it's kind of like good for Steed, but also like there's nothing wrong with you being a soft Muppet pirate. You don't have to like light some dude on fire just to get all the other pirates to like you.
Yeah. I don't know that those things are mutually exclusive. I think that exact scene could be in Muppet Treasure Island and we would all be okay with it. We would have an aside with like Rizzo being like, this is supposed to be a kid's movie. And then it would be like, okay. Yeah, because I think that had the rest of this day gone differently, I think that Steed would have, like, had his moment and would have been like, that was cute and fun. And then him and Ed would have, like, talked and figured out what their next steps were. Like, I don't think this would have necessarily been, like, long term for Steed in the same way that he didn't get so bogged down by everyone being stoked about him being the gentleman pirate when he went back to wherever his hometown is at the end of season one. He was just like, this is a great feeling. I got too drunk and did something kind of goofy and now I'm like over it because whatever.
Yeah, I think that sounds correct. Also because I also noted that like we still see a lot of sort of Steed's like really just unvarnished enthusiasm for, like, the Dine and Dash and being like, people laughed at my jokes. And so I do think that maybe in a world where we had a couple more episodes, this wouldn't necessarily be the, like, Ed being like, yeah, I gotta go. Even though I also feel like part of it is just that, like, Ed is having some big feelings and he's running away from them and changing his whole life to not deal with them, which is a thing that we've seen Ed do before.
Yeah, can we talk about that? Because both the first time I watched this episode and today, I feel totally, it just feels like the whole thing with Ed being like, oh, actually, fuck this, I'm leaving, comes completely out of nowhere. it doesn't seem like it makes any sense with, like, the rest of the tone of, like, him and Steed's relationship through the episode. Like, he seems so genuinely happy for Steed to be infamous now. And he's like, wow, he's, like, being really cute. And everyone's really happy for them. And, you know, when Steed, like, goes up to him and is like, I lit a guy on fire and I made a joke. Like, it's clear that Steed's like, and now I'm here to talk to you, right? Like, I'm kind of done with, like, being in a crowd for the day. I want to, like, talk to you about all the things that just happened and, like, go back to the boat and maybe have more sex or at least, like, have a cute time together. And it's so weird to me. Like, that's the moment where I stop liking this episode. Like, I feel like I have a great time for the first half, and then basically that and, like, Oluwande randomly leaving with Zhang Yi, I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I'm not having a good time anymore.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a thing where it feels like trying to mash what should have maybe been two episodes into one, unfortunately. I do feel like, though, I don't know. I guess for me, Ed's actions doesn't, like, totally come out of left field. I think the quickness for him being like, I'm just gonna go be a fisherman away from you, that is like, bro, what are you doing? I think maybe him having sort of complex feelings about, like, sort of like symbolically once again killing Blackbeard and, like, Ed and, like, Steed sort of being more piratey, I feel like I can see why Ed would be like, a lot of feelings that I don't want to process.
I guess. I feel like it takes up screen time that would have been better served doing something else. Like, I hear what you're saying about, like, it could have been two episodes, but I also think that it could have just not happened. I don't think it does anything for the season or for the show to have Ed leave and come back when he could have just, like, processed those feelings with Steed or Izzy or whoever in, like, 45 seconds of dialogue.
Yeah, I will agree with you about, since we're at such a premium of screen time for this season, that, yeah, shit, it would have maybe made sense for Izzy just to be like, the fuck are you doing?
Right. Just, like, talk to him. Because Izzy's so stoked for them, you know? I don't know. Okay, sorry, I'm, like, processing as we're talking. I think what it feels like is that this was, like, a kill your darlings thing. Like, they were like, oh, we really need to have it be bookended. Like, season one, Steed leaves and comes back. Season two, Ed has to leave and come back. And it's like, the has to is, like, not true there. Like, I get that you wanted to do that, but, like, it wasn't important enough that you needed to, like, work the plot around that or, like, give that time. Kill your darlings, okay. You know? Just
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that makes sense to me. Because, yeah, we could have gone in a couple different directions with that. Or even just, like, had more Jackie be like, the fuck are you doing?
Right. I think in general, like, I wish that this season was just less focused on Ed and Steed than it is. Like, I think that part of it, too, is I'm like, why is this all we're getting, right? Like, we all wanted more of the other characters and we got so much less of them. And I think that them trying too hard with what they're doing with Steed and Ed's relationship is a lot of why we didn't get more other characters. Yeah. And if they had just let them be, like, settled, we could have had a lot of fun with other people instead of being like, okay, Ed's leaving to be a fisherman now, I guess.
Yeah, I think this is interesting because I feel like, and I don't remember if I've said this on any of the podcasts, is that I feel like, especially like in television, there is a lot less emphasis on like established couples doing stuff and more like the sort of like high drama of like getting together or breaking up or getting back together kind of thing. When it's like, there are plenty of like interesting stories that you can still tell if it's like, we've been together and we still have to deal with any of the other outside things that could be happening.
I mean, come on. Corey and Topanga were a settled couple from the time they were like 10 years old. And Boy Meets World was on for 75 years. So.
Oh, my God. It sure was. yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, if only we'd gotten, like, NSD dealing with her stuff, like, episode 3 or 4. And then we could have just had even 4 episodes of, like, wacky hijinks with the crew. So.
Yeah, more backstories, more stuff. Okay. Anyway, do you have other stuff about them?
No, I think I've covered all my points.
Okay, the only final thing that I want to say is just about Steed and how much I appreciate the fact that Ed is like, you know, I made you this breakfast to, like, thank you because you saved me when I was in the gravy basket. And he's like, you were merman. And Steed asking the most important question as the first question, how did I look? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, that whole scene is just so cute.
I know. I love it.
Even though I'm still mad that Izzy comes in and just like, you can just leave. You don't have to be here for this.
I actually had a like Lucius, okay, I actually love this reaction to Izzy being like so excited about the fact that they had sex.
Also for Izzy, that means the odds of him keeping the rest of his limbs go up exponentially. True.
Okay, so do you want to talk about whatever the fuck is going on with Oluwande and Zhengyi and Jim and Archie?
Yes. It is... It's still real weird. Yeah, I'm like... Even though Jim is like the cutest wingman, I'm like, what is even happening with this? Just... And I'm like, it's also kind of a thing... Where we have so many precious minutes of these of this season, and this is what we're doing with it.
Right. It's like, it again feels like it just comes out of nowhere. Jim's like, ever since we left, he just won't shut up about you. And I'm like, citation needed? Like, you did not seed this. And so it just ends up being like, Oluwande, who's seemingly been in like a happy throuple with Jim and Archie for the past several episodes, suddenly has actually been pining for Zhengyi and is now gonna leave with her when he's known her for like 2 minutes? Like, what the fuck is happening?
I know. And it's like, I feel, and I mean, okay, granted, I am not polyamorous. I feel like, though, this is not the poly rep that I want.
No.
I'm like,
It kind of just feels like Jim is, like, getting rid of Oluwande. Like, me and Archie want to be together without you, so why don't you just go join the red flag, you know?
Aren't you guys all enjoying being room people? Because at the very least, I can be on board with that.
Right, exactly.
I just am like, all right, okay, I guess this is what we're doing.
Winnie is, I know, also Winnie, unhappy.
Right, Winnie? This is not the poly rep that any of us need. You are correct.
Welcome to Do You Fancy a Fine Fabric, where we talk about aesthetics. And remember, we do an image roundup for every episode, so if you want to look at what we're talking about while we talk about it, click the link in the show notes or head to #ruthless.com/thegaypiratepodcast.
Jim is wearing incredibly cute earrings in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, they have one, I think it's like a dangly dagger, and then one sort of just like silver... like half moon looking, it looks like a silver piece of rope, kind of, is what I have to look at a screenshot to see exactly what their jewelry is. But
the like hoopy one,
yeah.
Is it a snake though?
Is it? It had like a texture on it. So yeah. That's
in my mind now. I feel like it's like snake skin, and I was like, is that like an Archie thing? But I might be making that up. We'll find out.
We'll find out. So whatever it is, very cute.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the person like walking in when they first get to the Republic of Pirates who's just wearing like a like Hot Topic fishnet shirt?
No, but I feel like there's so many of these pirates are like very like, it's not like mall goth. It's like hanging out at the mall, but we've all gone to the like BDSM store, the leather shop.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed. Yes. But this, yeah, it's like, I mean, honestly, I was like, I used to wear that to school in high school. just like a full, like long sleeve fishnet shirt with this sort of like satiny, like wrap skirt, I think, with it. You know, not a material that could have existed before the invention of elastic. I don't care. It's amazing. Yep. I'm going to try really hard to get a screenshot.
Oh my God. My next thing is, did you notice the hottie who comes up to Steed when Steed and Ed are at the fish place and they have like, I don't know, like a dozen chains of various length that are just start at the shoulder and kind of draped down?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So
that person like, is my next note. Like literally so many hot goths. Like what amazing.
Yeah, that person is like already a smoke show, and then add in all just like the chains. I'm just like, wow, you're winning at this outfit right now.
They're ready to go dance to like a techno version of a Nine Inch Nails song right now. And I,
hell yeah.
I actually don't want to be there, but I am very happy for them.
If we ever get to a point where COVID isn't gonna get all of us, I would maybe be there. But only briefly, because fog machines make my asthma flare up, so I can't be in a place with a lot of fog machines anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it was a pretty unfortunate thing to find out. Not that I had like a terrible asthma attack, but I was like, wow, it's hard to breathe in here in this tiny dance floor with the fog machine. Yeah, getting old is a scam.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, my next thing is just Jackie looking out of this fucking world. Just
incredible. Oh, her outfit is incredible. It's literally also my next thing, because like, holy shit.
So hot. First time we've seen her not in red, but like, I'll forgive it, because this is so
good. The silver, right.
The shoulder pads, the boob window. Oh my God.
So, it's just flawless. It's flawless.
Yeah. The hair, fuck. Oh my God, yes. She looks so hot.
Yeah, Spanish Jackie looks like she's going to MC at the goth club, but like the goth club of your dreams.
Yeah. It's your turn.
The Swede's crop top and jacket combo.
Ridiculous. So good.
I mean, I love seeing masked people in crop tops. He's just rocking it so well.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely adore when Lucius is like, is it just me or did the Swede get like super hot? And then the Swede like leans over the bar and is like, it was an adjustment for me too.
That is like one of my favorite things in this episode. He's just like, I am just as shocked as anyone.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need like a really fashionable partner to be like, look how hot you are. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing with this headband, with this hair, with these clothes? Like, just maybe try some other stuff and just like see how that goes for you, you know, to like bring you out of your fashion shell.
I feel you can really imagine Jackie literally taking the Swede's outfit and throwing it into a fire.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's like, nope, not you're done with this outfit. We're getting you some new clothes.
Yeah.
maybe there's a communal like closet for the husbands.
Oh, probably. Jackie approved clothes.
Uh-huh. Not to mention, since there are so many husbands, unlike, I don't know, any 95% of clothing swaps or vintage stores, you're probably going to find something in your size with the broad variety of husbands that she currently has/has had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually it for me. Do you have anything else?
Don't have anything. Cool. I like how we almost basically had like the exact same
thing. I mean, there are some real standout moments in this episode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to The Art of Fuckery, where we rant about stuff. My first rant is, no, don't throw away your custom clothes, Blackbeard. Those must have been so expensive. They're like beautiful, hand-tailored. Like, if you don't want them anymore, give them to Jackie's husband's communal closet. Why did you put them at the bottom of the sea?
Already worn in leather. Like, it takes a long time to get a leather clothing to be worn in where it's comfortable.
Yeah. Give it to me. There are so many people who want that. Like, why? I cannot. I'm so upset that it's at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. Ed loves a big statement. And sometimes that statement is throwing all of his leather goods into the ocean. Which, don't do that. That is not good for your leather.
Yeah. Throw them into the donate pile dramatically, you know? There's better solutions to this.
Yeah. We briefly get the return of my favorite Frenchie, which is Scammer Frenchie.
Yeah.
I wish there was more time with this. Nothing made me happier than Frenchie being like, oh, I see an opportunity here. And being like, yes.
Yeah. The part where they're selling the planks and yes. He's like, you know, genuine, bona fide, whatever. And then like really quiet at the end whispers like replicas or something. Oh my God, I fucking love it so much.
Yeah, speaking of someone who'd have a, who'd be a Instagram influencer, Frenchie would be selling flat tummy tea and like stuff from Shein to everyone, and they would buy it.
Yeah. Yep.
I also love how Frenchie brings Black Pete into his scam, even though Pete's like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh. It's like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to The Crystals Attract Demons, where we talk about science and history and stuff.
It's very brief for me, this episode.
Okay.
But I was reading that the scene at the end when all of the clocks explode and all of the ships explode, and then we see Republic of Pirates under attack, is actually a mix of a lot of mostly practical effects, apparently, and like a little bit of like CGI, like computer digital kind of effects. But apparently they made actual models of the ships and then like digitized it and then like did whatever that they were doing. So
cute.
I know. Which, you know, is great, but I guess also makes sense considering that for anyone who spent time being obsessed with Lord of the Rings knows that there is some very good CGI and prop houses now in New Zealand after what's-his-face spent like 20 years making Lord of the Rings movies there.
Right.
So I'm just like, I'm glad, because it looks really good.
It does look really good, yeah.
I also read that the Republic of Pirates, like, set, I guess, was just sort of sitting outside for several months. So that's why it looks, like, really weathered. And I guess some of the plants are, like, actual real plants that sort of grew around slash in the set.
Nice.
I know.
That's fun.
I know.
I wish I could go visit it.
I know. Yeah, I would definitely go to there. I mean, not really, because that's a, like, 20-hour plane ride, and I'm like, that is too much for my flight anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So my thing this week, we get to reference our terrible history book yet again, because I realized when I was doing my Ned Lowe research that Zheng Yi Cao is in this book, but I hadn't realized it before because there are so many different ways that her name is spelled that she's in here with a completely different spelling. And so I just happened to glance through and was like, wait a second, like Pirate Queen who took over all of China, that's got to be the same person. So we're going to learn a little bit about her as told by our terrible history book.
I'm very excited.
She's pretty fucking rad. Let me just say, this show is not exaggerating the radness of this woman. All right. So she, according to this, was a Chinese prostitute who married Zheng Yi, a pirate who controlled the sea between Hong Kong and Vietnam. So this refers to her as Mrs. Zheng, I guess is how she was known according to this book. So that's what I'm going to be calling her. So her husband controlled the sea between Hong Kong and Vietnam. They had a whole army of bloodthirsty pirates, and he eventually died. And then she basically like appointed his apprentice to like co-command with her slash be her new husband. But like she was in charge of everything. He was just like her chief operations officer, essentially. They had like super strict rules that were like much more feminist than a lot of the other pirate ships we've heard about. And IRL, she became so powerful that even the Chinese army and navy couldn't get near her. She had nearly 400 ocean-going junks, larger than many countries' navies. At times, she had up to 7,000 men. It says, at one point in 1809, her boys, it says, attacked a village that held her enemies and took horrible revenge. They burned it to the ground and beheaded its 80 male inhabitants, hanging their heads on a large banyan tree as a warning to others. So in the end, the Chinese asked for the help of the British and Portuguese navies, but even that didn't work. The pirates were just too powerful. So the Chinese government offered Mrs. Zheng amnesty. So like if she and her husband promised to behave, they would be free of prosecution. And it says they liked that idea and settled down in what was known at the time as Canton, where they opened a Chinese restaurant. No, they didn't. She opened a massive gambling house and died age 69, an immensely rich old lady. 69 for a fucking pirate.
I'm gonna say 69 in the 1800s. I'm like,
I know.
Good for you. You lived your life and you were just like, hell yeah.
Such a good pirate.
I love that for her.
Me too. Welcome to our final segment, Petrified Orange, where we talk about our new favorite things. What is yours this week?
Paparazzi.
Oh my God, right?
Oh my God. I love it. I just love everything funny about that.
Yeah. Okay, mine this week is... So when Weejohn is giving that dude a tattoo of Steed's face, yes, he's like, for another 8 bits or whatever, I'll do the back of his head on your chest. And a tattoo that like passes through your body is so funny to me.
Actually, that is really funny. Oh my God, it reminds me of those like weird 90s t-shirts would be like a bunch of like cats or dogs, and on the front and the back would be like the butts of the animals. That would be actually a very funny tattoo, honestly.
Oh, I think it would be so great. You would definitely have to pick, and like don't know what the right body part would be for it to be like, for you to be able to show people as effectively as you want to be able to.
Maybe like your arm or your leg, maybe.
Yeah, I think maybe your forearm, but also it could be kind of fun if like the back part was like in your under, like under your arm, the part that goes against your chest. Mm-hmm. Because then it's like a surprise.
I mean, honestly, if you're getting a tattoo, why not more visual gag tattoos?
I agree.
That's not the like mustache on your finger that everyone got in like 2009.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget that we make a bunch of other podcasts, so you should check those out. Go to #ruthless.com. It's where everything is. We've got transcripts, we've got art, we've got memes, we've got Actually, the memes are on our Instagram, but we've got other podcasts. We've got merch. It's a great place. You should go there. Links for all the things are in the show notes. And until next time.
Farewell, Bonnet's Playthings.